This is your friend John Walden. We are beginning a study in the epistles of John. This is not St. John now, but the letters or epistles, which are over near the end of your Bible. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Then verse 2 is a parenthesis, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. A writer of the last century said, the great purpose of God in all his dealings in grace is to bring us into fellowship with himself. I think if I only had an hour to explain to someone what the Bible is about, I would go through the first epistle of John with them, because this is a miniature Bible in itself. Here is a book that takes up the problem of sin and what God is like, and because God is what he is, sin has separated us from God. And then he tells how we can be restored to fellowship with God and how we can be brought into a place of real joy. This is one of seven places in the New Testament that he tells us how our joy may be full. We're told that he gave us his word so that our joy may be full in John 15:11. And then he gave us the privilege of prayer in John 16:24 so that our joy could be full. And then he tells us in Acts that great joy can come to us, our fullness of joy, because of the resurrection. Acts 2:28. Remember in Psalm 16, the psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And then in the 13th of Acts, in verse 52, he tells us that even persecution can result in great joy to Christians. And in Romans 15:13, the walk of faith, living in a way of dependence upon God, can result in great joy. And now in John's epistles, the one we've just read, fellowship with God brings joy, and then the fellowship of saints in 2 John 12 is a means of great joy. So God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be glad. And he's provided a way so that we can. Now the epistle of John takes us back to the beginning, but this is not the same beginning you have in Genesis 1:1. That's the beginning of the world. Nor is it the same beginning that you have in John's Gospel. In John 1:1, we're told that in the beginning was the Word. Now, this is the absolute beginning. This goes back to the beginning of all things. God was there. The Lord Jesus Christ was there. It tells us of the eternal Son of God. But the beginning that we have here is the beginning of the Lord's ministry. From the very beginning of his ministry, we, John says, have heard. You see, this was the last writings of the New Testament. John was used of the Lord to give us the gospel and the three epistles and the revelation long after all the rest of the apostles had died. Most of them were gone by the middle of the 60s. But it wasn't until perhaps 90 to 95 A.D., almost the end of the first century, that the Apostle John was called upon to write down these things. And he tells us that the purpose of his writing is to call back the people of God to what they had been taught at the beginning. Now, that's why I feel that the epistles of John are so helpful in our day. If ever there was a time when Christian people need to be called back to the truths of the Bible, it's now. And the study of the epistles of John will call us back to the fundamental truths that we learned. This calling back is to call us back to the Lord himself. And so he said, we looked upon him, we gazed upon him, that's really the word, our hands handled him, we knew him personally, we spent time with him. And we want you to know him in the same way that we knew him, so that you can have fellowship with us, because our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, fellowship is a wonderful thing. Somebody has said it's two fellows in the same ship, but this is hardly true because they might not even agree with each other. Fellowship is really the uniting together in common bonds of two people who work together and think together and who love each other. Now think of the great God wanting us to have fellowship with Himself. He was totally self-sufficient. The Father and Son had perfect joy in each other. Why should they want us? Well, I don't know a lot of things, and this is one of them I don't know. I don't know why God would want us, but He did. And while I may not understand it, I certainly can enjoy it. God wanted us for Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted us to be His companions. We're called His fellows in Hebrews 1. He wanted us to be His companions for all eternity. Now, if God wants my company, certainly I want His. And this is a means of real joy. This is how we can have fullness of joy. This little book is filled with revelations, that is, revealed things. God reveals many wonderful things to us. There are many things that have already been revealed, of course. The Gospel of John was written before this, so the Gospel had already been revealed very carefully. But in verse 2, we have the manifestation or the revealing of the life of God. Now, this life of God is called the Word of Life in verse 1. It's called eternal life in verse 2. And at the end of this book, we're told that this is the true God and eternal life. It is seen and known in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So we see what God's life is like in Christ. Eternal life is more than happy existence forever. Eternal life is really the very life of God. And this is what He gives to every believer. We were dead in trespasses and in sins, but we received life in Christ. And then you have the revelation of what sin is in this book. It is manifested by the light. And then the Savior Himself is manifested in chapter 3 and verse 5. And then He tells us that the Antichrist is manifested or revealed. And then we have the revelation of the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. We have the love of God manifested, and finally we have the Father completely manifested in His Son. So this is going to be a book of wonderful help to any Christian who will follow us in this study. Notice that when he brings up the subject of our having fellowship with God, he introduces something else. And this is germane to the problem. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. How am I going to have fellowship with a God who is perfectly holy? For that's the meaning of God is light. Everybody likes that little saying, which we have over in the fourth chapter of 1 John, that God is love. But before you learn about the love of God, you've got to learn that God is light. That is, God is sinlessly perfect. God is absolutely holy. God can never condone sin. And then he says in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There's no use of our pretending that we have fellowship with God. And this is done regularly in church membership, religious observances. Many, many people claim to be Christians simply because they live in America, or because they have grown up in a Christian environment, or because they've gone to church. And the Lord says that this is just hypocrisy, to say that we have fellowship with God and then go on living in sin. But He tells us what we can do about sin. If we walk in the light, if we come out into the light of God's presence, if we allow God to show us what we are, if we allow God to reveal the sin of our hearts and of our lives, if we come out into the light, then we can have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There is no other way to put away sin. Sin cannot be put away by good works. You cannot balance out the books by doing enough good works to balance off your bad works. Only by the shedding of blood can there be remission of sins. This was true in the Old Testament. It's true in the New Testament. There is no remission of sins apart from the shedding of blood. You see, the penalty of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. I don't want to die for my own sins. I dare not die for my own sins, because to do so, to die in my sins, would mean that where He is, I could never come. But the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, not simply to manifest God, but to tell us of God's love, and to prove that love in dying in our place. And so the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is the cleansing agent. It doesn't mean that all sins are cleansed, but it does mean that He came to die in order that your sins might be cleansed away. And if you receive Him as your Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will cleanse you from all sin. It's a wonderful thing to know that our sins are put away so that we can be brought into a place of fellowship with God. Let's thank Him. Our Father, we do thank Thee that Thou sent Thy Son to be our Savior. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for taking our place at Calvary and rising again from the dead, and we thank Thee for this place of fellowship into which we are brought. In the name of our Savior, amen.